Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Dr. John here, live from Pearl River, Louisiana. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about Jesus Saves in Hebrews chapter 10, the New Covenant. And we'll be going through a lot of verses in 15 minutes. So we'll have to get started. Excuse me. Now, I just want to give you a little background to this. Well, Hebrews, excuse me. To Hebrews and, well, the New Testament. Like the book of Hebrews was written around 60 A.D. Around 70 A.D. was when Rome sieged Jerusalem and massacred most of the Jews and then exiled the rest of them out of the territory, out of the area, out of Jerusalem. But until then, they were sacrificing animals. They were going about, quote-unquote, fulfilling the law of Moses with the sacrifices and the festivals and the rituals that were to them. And the New Testament hadn't been written yet. But this is the transition period right now. And so we can see that in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll see the weaknesses of the sacrifices, the sacrifice of Christ's body once offered. Also, he has taken away sins forever. And the exhortation, hold fast to the faith with patience and thanksgiving. And I got that from TSK. So let's go ahead and read the scriptures. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now a shadow, let's say you were standing in the shadow of an apple tree. Well, it would help you from the sun. You could get in the shade, but you couldn't benefit from the fruit of the apple tree because of the shade. So that's what a shadow is. It's a shadow of good things. It gives you a little, let's say, benefit, but it doesn't give you the good things. Like for an apple tree, apples. So we find here that the sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers, did not make the comers thereto perfect. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, because they sacrificed every year. So hey, remembering, we're sinners. Here's the sacrifices every year. Here they are again to remind us. Okay, verse 3. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should not take away sins. Now, let me show you something about that. Why he says that they can't take away, the bulls and goats cannot take away sins. There were essential defects in these sacrifices. First, they were not the same nature with those who sinned. They were animals. They were, and the people offering the sacrifices were humans. So a different nature, different sins, different types. Okay, number two, they were not sufficient value to make satisfaction for the affronts done to the justice and government of God. Three, the beast offered up under the law could not consent to put themselves in the sinner's room and place. They did not consent to it. All right. The atoning sacrifice must be one capable of consenting. and must voluntarily substitute himself in the sinner's stead. Christ did so. So that's the difference between the sacrifices of animals and Jesus Christ. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then saith I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then saith he, in verse 9, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Here's the Jews and the Hebrews, the believing Hebrews, even were going through the sacrifice, believer sacrifice, this is it. And so Paul's telling them, hey, it's going to end. And shortly, a few years later, it did end. They did not, after that, do sacrifices wherever they were sent to, they were dissipated to. So he's saying, hey, there's a new way. There's a new covenant. Okay. And verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One, no more sacrifices. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. And every priest standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And let me tell you, the enemies of Christ are being made the footstool of Jesus right now. You can see it in the news. Putin, he is an enemy of Christ and his followers, and we have a lot of enemies of Christ in our country, like Joe Biden and his crowd. I think they're just brothers. They're the same enemies of Christ. And so the Father's making them the footstool of Jesus, the Son. And when it's all ready, he's going to take over, Jesus is. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is the day, okay? After those days. Those days are now. You receive the Holy Spirit, and he writes in your heart the laws, and then he forgives your sins and iniquities. God does not remember them no more. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, we can enter the presence of God by the blood of Jesus to find grace and mercy, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He gave his flesh. That made up the veil, that broke the veil. We enter the Holy of Holies by the flesh of Jesus, his offering of the flesh. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's your baptism. That's the symbolism that you find in your baptism. Okay? And also, okay, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith This is the work that we do now, holding fast that profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Jesus is faithful. So you hold fast to how faithful he is, and you keep focusing on your by faith in the Holy of Holies that you can enter into by faith and consult with him and talk to him and fellowship with him. And let us consider one another to provoke unto good, to love and good works. See, it's not about sacrifices now. It's not about bringing the right animal sacrifice. It's not about the right festival. It's not about the celebration and that and all of these laws and everything. It's about this. We're to provoke unto love and good works. That's what we're to do. And this is not a sensual love. This is not an emotional love. It's a love of unconditional love one toward another, which produces good works. That's the work that we're to do now. That's the faith that we're to have in, faith and love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to come together and fellowship together and encourage one another and exhort one another unto love and good work. And we're to be of that nature that the Holy Spirit bears witness with us, with one another, and that by that we are strengthened in confidence in our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You can't get saved again. You can't screw up or sin willfully and then say, oh, well, I wasn't saved. No. If you're saved, you're saved. That's it. There's no more sacrifices. But there is something. A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Okay? The worst person on earth is a backslidden Christian. Okay? A lost person, he's doing what all he knows how to do. A saved person who's been forgiven for their sins, the laws have been written on their hearts, they have the Holy Spirit, they willfully sin, that all they have to look forward to is the chastisement of God. That's what they have to look forward to. Okay. Verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy of who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despise unto the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you, and you can expect to go into God's blood, woodshed. I'd rather go into his woodshed than go into hell forever. Okay, verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. He's going to judge it. He's going to judge me. He has judged me. And it's always a chastening of learning. And it's, there's always a scar from the chastening. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Yes, it is. It's affliction because you're not going to be the most popular guy. You're going to have restrictions on your life. Look at Tim Tebow. He's a wonderful athlete, and he's a wonderful Christian. And the way he was afflicted because of his faith, who are you? Not different from that. Are we any different than Paul the Apostle or any of the apostles or any of the people that are written in the scriptures because they stood for their faith? So endure it. Verse 33, partly whilst ye were made gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. That's our hope. Look, we don't go about the substances of this world. We have in heaven we have a better and an enduring substance. Why you got to buy a new car all the time? Now they want you to buy an electric because they want to save the climate. What a bunch of bull. But they got to come up with something because the people with the big money, the oil companies, or the big people with the big money, they're promoting this. It's all about making money. It's about keeping you poor. Okay, but that's the thing. Don't focus on that. Focus on the heaven and storing up riches in heaven where there is no taxes. There is no corruption. That's what we need to be focusing on, the work of love and good works. Okay, verse 35, cast not away that which hath great recompense of reward. Don't give it away. Don't say you made a mistake. That's why you need to strengthen your confidence. That's why we need to come together and encourage one another, provoke one another into love and good works. For ye have need, let me tell you what love and good works are, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing for others when it's inconvenient and when it's not about you. Okay? That's love. And good works is good works, like helping people out when they can't do for themselves. Love and good works. So, you will, where am I? Okay. That's your reward. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For ye yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look. Don't draw back and give in to temptations. Temptations of not keeping your faith in the love of God and the promises of Jesus and the temptation that this world's going to draw you into and try and take you away from following the Lord according to the word. And the word says that we're about, our work is about, our life is about doing good to others and keeping yourself clean from this world. And it's not a sensual love. It's not a license to take advantage of other people because they're trusting in you. They're trusting in you as you're doing good works to them. And you are performing the love of God. It's not to take advantage of that. Paul has no pleasure in that. And the Lord doesn't have any pleasure in that. And you will be chastised for it. You will lose rewards. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. And that's exactly what I just said. Losing rewards. That's what perdition means. It's the loss. You lose the quality of life that you were living by faithfully following the Lord and struggling day in fellowship with the Lord because of the different temptations that come, and they come. And as you grow in the Lord, there's going to be different temptations to come. And it's a fight. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I like that. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Do you believe to the saving of your soul? Your soul is your body. It's your organs. It's your heart. It's your liver. It's your brain. It's your kidneys. It's your pancreas. It's the inner working, your heart, your blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given upon an altar. I've given upon the altar for your soul. So by now we have the blood of Jesus Christ has been given for our soul. Believe in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit in you, and the law that he has given in your heart and mind, and the Word of God here. Believe to the saving of your soul. And what that means is, if you do that to the saving of your soul, to the saving of your body, by following Jesus, by love and good works, you will save your soul. And that means that you will be able to have a good, your soul will be, let me say, healthy, and you will be able to perform more good works because your brain will work better, your heart will work better, your liver will work better, so that you'll be in, just to put it in one or two words, you'll be in good health. You'll be healthy. You won't, well, I'm telling you, you got to take care of your soul to be able to perform good faith, to walk in faith strongly. You have to have a good soul. What happens then? You will be rewarded in due time. Have patience. And I'm preaching to myself also. So God bless you. I ran over the long chapters, a lot in here that is working on me. So WSM217@gmail.com. Have a blessed day. And walk in faith, as it says there, be of them that believe to the saving of your soul.